It's Food Friday, and this week we're learning how to up our game in the kitchen with the experts at America's Test Kitchen.
We are hopefully nearing the end of winter, but the cold temperatures are still going strong here in Wisconsin. Winter is a great time to cook with a crock pot or a slow cooker, so we invited experts from America's Test Kitchen to join us and explain how to make the most of the meals we make in the crock pot.
Julia Cullen-Davison is here. She is the executive food editor for the book division of America's Test Kitchen, and she's the on-screen test cook for America's Test Kitchen and Cook's Country. She's also one of the editors of Slow Cooker Revolution. You can get that book as a thank you gift for your pledge of $200 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Julia, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
So crockpots have had a bit of a resurgence in the past several years. It seemed like they were passé, they were done, they were from the past. They're back big time now. What is it that people love so much about crockpots?
Yeah, you're right. They're becoming hip, if you can believe it. And there's some fancy ones out there. Allclad has one. It's very good looking. It's a nice addition to your counter, although you don't need to spend that much. Of course, we do all our testings. But I think the appeal is the whole, I hate to borrow the phrase, but set it and forget it. It's the convenience. It's the everyone's, busy, everyone's working, everyone's dealing with, a lot of us are dealing with snow. And kids are in school and it's hard. You really want to put dinner on the table and you want to have that time to sit down. But no, it's harder and harder to find that time to cook dinner. And so the idea of putting all the food in this one machine, turning it on, and then coming home and having dinner done is too good to be true. It is just so appealing. And I think over the years, because this appliance has been around for so long, we've learned a thing or two about how to use it and how to make it work. Because I think in the beginning, things turned out pretty watery and pretty bland. But nowadays, they're a bit more powerful. They can do some browning. And so that's what I think the appeal is overall.
Yeah, but with that simplicity, as you say, there's maybe an assumption that crockpot cooking is going to come out pretty good, and that's as good as it's going to get. Is it worth taking a little time, putting a little extra effort in to make really good stuff in the crockpot?
Yes, definitely. Any extra time, prep, browning you do before you put the food in the crockpot, you will definitely see on the other end. However, this is our third slow cooker cookbook. And so when we do our books and we send our recipes out, we encourage people to get back to us with their comments. And the comments after our first book was, the food tastes amazing, but it took too long to get it into the crock pot. Even if it was half an hour, they didn't want to, no one wants to brown in the morning or do whatever. So how can you do that but more quickly? And so our second book was all fast recipes. And the goal was 10 or 15 minutes you can press the start button. This book, this healthy book, we did a combination of fast start and putting a little more time in. And sometimes, especially if you're dealing with healthy food, you need that little extra bump of flavor from browning or what have you, because there's not a lot of fat to cover up a thin flavor, which is often what crockpot recipes do. You throw in a bunch of butter and cheese, and anything tastes good.
I've gotten good results using beans, but what I've heard is that if you really want to do the best stuff, the best tasting results in your crock pot, you should be cooking with meat, because what it does is it gets really, really tender. Is that true?
Yeah, it does. So meat, the more quickly you cook meat, the tougher it can get. And so that's why when you think of steaks, the cheap steaks, the less expensive steaks that don't have all the fat and marbling throughout, they can taste pretty tough and rubbery. And the same can happen for chicken if you overcook it. Of course, you combat that on steaks because you have a medium rare, right? But you can't do that with chicken. You got to cook it all the way through. And so then you're really battling some tough stuff. But if you cook stuff slowly and you give the proteins more time to cook, it winds up holding on to more moisture and the proteins are a little less tough. So you wind up with juicier results. And in fact, before this book, I wasn't a huge fan. Now, after this book, I'm more of a fan. And I actually do some chicken recipes at home because chicken, boneless, skinless breasts, right? They come out so juicy. It's incredible. And also fish. The thing about fish is it has a really short cooking time. And when you extend the time, things are not only more tender, but you nail the doneness more. You have a minute, maybe a couple seconds to nail the doneness of a cod fillet before it overcooks and turns to rubber. In a slow cooker, that is extended to 5 or 10 minutes for you to catch it at that right time. So it's a little more convenient and, I think, a little more foolproof.
That said, I know I have managed to overcook chicken, even on low in a crock pot. So what's the window is wider, but how do we avoid overcooking a cut of meat in the crock pot?
Yeah, you know, I think couple things. I think all crock pots are not the same. And, of course, in the test kitchen, we test everything. And so when we develop a recipe, we then take that recipe and we retest it in 4 other brands and sizes of crock pots because some are really fast, some are really slow, some are really small, so things are stacked on top of each other so they don't cook as evenly, so you need a bit longer. And this all plays out in how tender the food is at the end. And so when you see a time in a recipe for a crock pot or a slow cooker, really, is what they should be called, because crock pot's a brand name, right? And so there's lots of people who make these slow cookers, not just crock pot. But when you see a time range in a recipe, our time ranges are about an hour, and it'll say for chicken, 2 or 3 hours on low. Now, that might people might interpret that as, oh, it'll be done between hours 2 and 3, and whatever in that time range is convenient for me is when I'll take it out. Well, that's not quite true. If you have a crock pot that runs a little hot, you should go on the two-hour mark. If your crock pot runs a little slow, you should go towards probably the 3-hour mark. And the more you use your crock pot, you'll get a sense of how it works. So that's what the time ranges are, and you really just can't let it sit in there. It will overcook pretty quickly.
Now, on the cover of your book, Slow Cooker Revolution, there is a delicious-looking piece of lasagna layered with ricotta cheese and sausage and tomato sauce. And it's one of those things you think, I can't cook lasagna in a slow cooker, and yet there it is. It looks great. So how can you pull off something like that in a slow cooker?
Yeah, you can. The thing about casseroles, so if you think about a slow cooker, it's a moist heat environment, which means you add a lot of liquid into it. And if you've used them, you know a lot of liquid comes out of the meat. So you put in chicken breasts with just a little bit of sauce, and what you get is like two, three cups of sauce at the end. Same with beef. With casseroles, that's not what's going to happen. In fact, the reverse will happen. The casserole will suck up all that liquid and will get really dry and start to burn. And so this is what happens over and over. And we found that you have to add more liquid, obviously, to the crockpot casserole. But also, you need to line the insert with foil because one side of the pot will be hotter than the other. So you know where the dials are or your digital display is. There's no heating element there. But on the opposite side, on the back side, there's a lot of heating elements. So things are always burning on the back side. So you lay in a couple sheets of foil along the back side. That prevents it from burning. And then if you do a little sling action with the foil before you layer the stuff in, you can get it out in a pretty good one piece.
A little fling action?
A little fling action.
Sounds fun.
We're talking to Julia Collin-Davison from America's Test Kitchen about how to make the most of the meals we make in slow cookers.
And we'd love to have you in on this conversation. What is your favorite slow cooker meal? What's your go-to crockpot dish? And what are your secrets for cooking in that slow cooker? What questions do you have about how to get the best results from your slow cooker? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our discussion now with Julia Collin-Davison from America's Test Kitchen. She's with us to talk about how to make the most out of our crockpot meals.
And we're taking your calls, too. Do you have questions about how to cook with slow cookers? And what is your favorite slow cooker recipe? Do you have a signature dish that you like to do, a particular meat that always turns out well, or maybe some, you know, bumps in the road when it comes to this and you'd like to get over them? Call in and share your thoughts at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Before we go to a caller, Julia, we shared a recipe from the book, Pork Loin with Cranberries and Orange. That's on the Central Time Facebook page. Can you tell us about this one?
Oh, it's good and it's easy. This is one of those recipes where we thought, let's respond to those readers who want something that's really easy to get into the pot and press the go button. So it is a pork loin, a boneless pork loin. And, you know, as we test everything in the test kitchen, right? So we made this recipe maybe 20, 30 times. And the first few times we did it, it was terrible. The pork loin was so overdone. People took it home anyway, mind you. There's so much leftover food here in the test kitchen. We have, as a side note, we have a whole refrigerator. It's called the leftover fridge. And everything gets packed up, and everyone gets to take the food home. And so the whole company is fed. Of course, we can't donate the food because it's experimental, and it's never enough of any one thing. So we do that in a separate way. But so this one wound up in the take-home fridge in the beginning of the testing process a lot. But then we realized you can only cook this kind of lean meat on low. You really can't cook it on high. And you'll see other books that say you can do this. No, don't do it. Cook it on low. Let it go slowly, only for about 4 hours. So this is not when you can set it 8 in the morning and come home at 5 or 6 and expect it to taste good. This is, you know, one where you can put it in around noon or 1 or 2 and then have dinner at, you know, anywhere between 4 and 6. The key, there's two keys here. The first, the cut of boneless pork roast you buy. If you really look at them in the supermarket, there's pretty much two kinds. One is long and narrow, and it comes from the center of the loin. And the other one is kind of shorter. It's usually a bit darker, and it comes from more the shoulder area. And if you get the short shoulder area one, it will taste so much better. There's a little bit of extra fat in there, and it really does make a difference in how it tastes on the other side. And it's just a matter of going through the packages and looking for the right ones. Of course, the shorter ones also fit in the slow cooker a little bit better. Otherwise, you're going to have to sort of curl it around in there to make it fit. And the other thing is you got to brown it. Just a couple minutes in a hot skillet. You got to get that browning on it, or else it'll look really awful and you won't have enough color. You know, we had a lot of like really pale meat with this blood red sauce, and it was a little garish. And so putting a little golden color on it and getting that browning does translate to a better looking dish and a little more flavor. And then we've just put a can of whole berry cranberry sauce, some dried cranberries and orange juice, and some fresh strips of orange zest, a little cinnamon, in the slow cooker, and you put the browned pork loin on top, and that's it. I mean, it couldn't be easier.
It sounds delicious. Well, let's go to our callers now. Margie is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Margie.
Hi. Great timing for this show. On March 7th, there's about 40 of us that are getting together for my mother's 90th birthday.
Oh, congrats.
And wow.
We've got a long afternoon planned, and we've got 4 or 5 people bringing hot dishes in crock pots. And so we're still combing the recipe books to find out what to do. Are there any good potato dishes that you can do safely?
Gotcha.
You know, like a gratin or scalloped or something like that?
All right. Thanks, Margie. Any good potato dishes?
Yes, we do have some good potato dishes. In fact, I'm just flipping through now. It's really easy to make scalloped potatoes, which might be kind of elegant for a party. Well, here it is, scalloped potatoes. It's 4 to 6 hours on low, and it uses russet potatoes and your classic heavy cream, a little butter, a little sharp cheddar, and Monterey Jack. And you just, as I mentioned before in the program, with casseroles, you really want to line the slow cooker insert with foil. Again, the back side of the slow cooker, the one on the opposite side of all the, you know, the digital outlet or the dials, that's the hot side, the back side. And so you want to put a couple layers of foil back on that back side. And then do what I called it a foil sling, and that's what we kind of call it around here. You lay a piece of foil that, you know, goes down, you know, covers the bottom and goes up the sides. And then when you layer all your potatoes in and you pour the cream over top and you put the cheese on, but then when you're ready to serve, you just lift up the foil on the edges like a sling, and it pulls out the scalloped potatoes all in once. Or you could just go in there with a spoon, of course. But if you pull it out at once, you could probably put it in a nice serving dish. So that's what I might consider doing if I were you.
That sounds delicious. And just real quick before we move on, how is that different than what you would do if you just cooked it in, you know, a ceramic dish in the oven?
Well, it's slower. I mean, you would never cook scalloped potatoes 4 to 6 hours in the oven, right? So that would be more like an hour, and you do a combination of covered and uncovered.
And how about the results?
Yeah, the results are absolutely comparable. I wouldn't say that the oven is better or different than the slow cooker. They both take equally as good, but with the slow cooker, you have that built-in hands-off, and your oven is still free, especially if you're having a party with a lot of people. Having your oven free and having your side dishes just doing their own thing off to the side on the counter in a slow cooker can be really valuable in terms of saving space.
Mm.
And Julia, we've hit the meat and potatoes here. Any great veggie, either entrees or side dishes that are perfect for a slow cooker that you could mention as we wrap up?
Oh, yeah. In fact, our new book, The Healthy Slow Cooker, has a whole vegetarian chapter. And all sorts of whole grains, wheat, berries, quinoa, lentils, they all work really well in the slow cooker because, again, that low, slow heat really ensures that all the grains get evenly cooked at the same time, none burst open, and none get overcooked and while others stay crunchy. You can do kind of a faux roasted acorn squash in there. We did this amazing, it's a stuffed eggplant, and it has some pretty unique flavors. It has a cigar masala and tomatoes and pine nuts. And you cook, you put the filling on the bottom of the insert, and then you invert small halved eggplants on the top, and you
wow.
cook it that way.
And Julia, thank you. You've made us really hungry. We've been talking to Julia Collin-Davison, food editor for the book division of America's Test Kitchen. The book we've been talking about, Slow Cooker Revolution. You can get your own copy of this book, by the way, with your pledge of $20 a month or more. That's $240. With your pledge to support Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. A lot of good inspiration here. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.